All right, how we doing? So good to see you in church. If you're new with us, my name is Miles. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. I get the privilege of serving our six locations. What does that mean? Well, I travel every week, usually fly out on a Saturday night, hit Sydney or Melbourne, minister there at Hill's location on the Sunday, or Penrith or Melbourne, and then back on the Monday to serve the teams out to Penrith on the Monday afternoon. Tuesday, I usually get up to Redlands, and then Wednesday, I'm here with Gold Coast and Tweed just to serve our churches and love it. On behalf of Ross and Kath, just want to take a moment and say thank you to our Gold Coast location for releasing me. We couldn't do this without your support, honestly, without your financial giving, without your prayers. This is the first child of Ross and Kath, the Gold Coast location. Your first child is always that special one. And so on behalf of Ross and Kath, it's a big deal that you allow me and Ross to do what we believe we're called to do, and that's build healthy churches. Is more at stake than just our location. Seeing healthy churches across Australia is actually impacting our movement of INC, which has got hundreds of locations. And so you're playing a part in something very significant. I know it's hard when I'm away and Ross is away, but our love is for you. We desperately and deeply care about you. But I also want you to know on the other side of that, there is health in churches, there is salvations, there is attendance growing, there is baptisms being done. And I want to start off today by saying thank you for making that possible, for embracing your great location pastor, Josiah, and Liv Wall, and great things ahead for the Gold Coast. We're going to push hard, believe and pray and not stop. But I want you to know so much more is going on also that you're a part of because of your support. So thank you all. True. Hey, Kath, it's just so good to have the Gold Coast location serving and supporting you guys. We are in a series talking about generosity, and we'll do this for a couple weeks leading up until our great generous celebration, which is on the 5th of June. Why are we doing this series? Well, God has a lot to say about money. He's got a lot to say about wealth and possessions. In fact, Jesus talked more about money than anything else. Two-thirds of the parables were about money. And so it's my honor today to share God's word, what he has to say about things like money, wealth, and how that impacts each of us. 2,000 verses, in fact, in the Bible talk about money. 2,000, five times as many verses that talk about prayer, five times as many verses that talk about faith. So God has a lot to say about this stuff. And at church, we want to be relevant to God's word and share what God's word has to say about all aspects of our life. So let me start with a question today. Is anyone here rich financially? Who's rich financially? Come on, we want to see who we can get a cup of coffee off later. Who's rich financially? When I ask this question, most people say, not me, bro. I am not rich. But we always seem to think we know someone who is, right? Who here thinks you could do a better job than the other rich people you know if you were rich? Man, if I was rich, I could help a lot more people. If I was rich, I think I would be better at being rich. We always think we're not rich and we think we can do a better job about being rich. Studies were done that asked the average wage earner who earned about $50,000 a year, how much would it take for you to be rich? The average answer was $100,000. If I could just make six figures, we would be rolling. I'd be rich. Well, the same study asked those earning $100,000 how much they needed to be rich. And the average answer was, I needed $200,000. If I could just get $200,000 a year, then I'd be rich. The problem is the rich line moves. Yeah. And the more you earn, the more you want. And the more you think we need. And we spend our lives chasing more, we fail to give even a little of what we already have. When we don't think we're rich, we don't think we can bless or help anyone. The truth today, compared to the rest of the world, we're rich. And we want to be rich in a way that honors God. I want my kids to know that they're rich. Take a look.
All right, I got some rich kids in my car. Let me start with JD. Jaden, are you rich?
You know I'm rich.
Well, mate, how come you're rich?
I got cash in the bank.
Cash in the bank, that does make you rich, buddy. You're true, that's true. What about you, Sammy? You rich?
Yeah, I'm rich.
How come you're rich?
I got the money in my wallet, G.
You got money in the wallet, you do. It makes you rich. What about you, Finny? You rich?
Yeah, I'm rich.
How come?
I got a PS4.
Yep. You do have a PS4. That does make you rich. What about you, little Jet? Are you rich?
I'm not rich.
What? You're not rich?
I'm filthy rich. Oh!
God, as kids I am. All I've got to offer is some silly kids stories every time I preach. Forgive me, that's all I got. I got to work with what I got. I want my kids to be grateful for what they have instead of complaining about what they don't have, right? I want my kids to be others focused instead of self-absorbed. I want them to be generous and help others instead of comparing and competing at other people's expense. I want my kids to know they're rich so that positions them to be a benefit and a blessing for others. See, when we don't think we're rich, we spend all our time trying to acquire, trying to gain, trying to get more, and we stop learning how to be a blessing with what we have. Why does this matter? Always wanting more prevents you from doing something with what you have. Always wanting more prevents you from doing something with what you have. If we don't feel we're rich, we'll always be trying to be rich and we'll miss the opportunity. We are rich. When I have more money, then I'll help others. Look, you can buy someone a coffee today. When I get a bonus or a pay raise, then I'll take my family on a holiday. Start now. Camp in the backyard. When I earn more money, then I'll tithe. You can start giving something today. You can. When I get a big enough retirement, then I'll spend time with my kids. How about you just have a technology free day and see how you build relationships, not through your stuff, but through your time. Well, when I get an investment property, then I'll focus on the family. By then, it may be too late. You know what breeds this false thinking and stops us from honoring God? It's this word that none of us like to admit, but I think all of us have a little bit of it, me included. It's called greed. Let me give you a definition of greed. Greed is an inordinate, insatiable longing for more. Greed is an inordinate desire to acquire or possess more than one needs. Now, the problem with greed is hard to see. We don't even call it greed. We call it getting ahead. We call it working hard, seizing the day, grabbing the opportunity. And in this life, it's celebrated. Especially in this consumer-driven culture, it keeps us from looking at what we have and keeps us looking at what we don't have. We focus on what others have and leaves our heart vulnerable to greed. I think social media is the biggest breeding ground for greed because it's always showing you what you don't have. It's comparing your lifestyle with everyone's highlight reel. And so we end up feeling like we're missing out. We've got FOMO, and it breeds this thing called greed, a longing, an insatiable desire for more. And it steals the blessing that we can be today by living four ways for tomorrow. In Luke 12:15, there's the Bible, it says this, "Then he said to them, watch out," this is Jesus speaking, "be on guard for all kinds of greed." Jesus says, be on guard for greed. Watch out for greed. He didn't say watch out for adultery or watch out for pornography. He said, watch out for greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This isn't a money issue, it's a heart issue. Money isn't bad, money's neutral. It just magnifies who you are. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." It's that love of money, it's that greed, it's that wanting more that takes us off track of what we already have. It's not a rich person's problem. You can have this greed issue and be poor. You can be old. You can be young. You can be wealthy. It doesn't matter where you are in life. We can all suffer from this spiritual illness or sickness called greed. And that's why greed is so destructive and dangerous, because it steals your heart from your friends. It steals your heart from your family. And it steals your heart from your God. And maybe that's where some of you are at today. You've been spinning your wheels, seeking, working, striving, trying to pursue more, that longing, that insatiable desire that when I get more, then I can do something. And I believe God wants to set some people free. God isn't against you having nice stuff. He just doesn't want your nice stuff to have you. Why does this matter? There was a season in my life where greed nearly destroyed the calling on my life. I didn't call it greed. I actually called it wisdom. I called it common sense. But it was clothed in the hard issue of greed. 12 years ago, I was a builder. And we're doing fine, doing well. And I was asked to come on staff at a church. The problem with that is I knew that people on staff at a church don't earn very much money. And so I said, I'll think about it. Let me sort myself out. The thought was we had several high-dollar investment homes. And Bonnie and I said, let's just sell those homes, get cashed up, and so then we can say yes to the call of God in our life. Well, that isn't really exercising faith or obedience. That's kind of working out of my own strength and doing it my way. And the problem was God said, okay, big boy, we'll sort you out real quick. And so we had several investment properties and they were just sitting and they didn't sell. And this went on for month after month. In fact, this was an 18-month process of God just dealing with this thing called greed. You see, I had this longing to be financially self-sufficient. I had this longing to be secure. I had this longing to be able to take care of my family. That sounds great, and everyone wants to celebrate that, and we should, but if it's at the expense of obedience to God, if it's at the expense of having faith, if it's at the expense of doing what God is calling us to do, then God can't honor that. And so God quickly dealt with me and said, you may have a good plan and a good idea, but I'm your source. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. I'm the one that I want you to put your trust into. Not your ability, your houses, your wealth. No, I am the God, the supplier of your needs. And so it was through a painful 18-month process that we finally said, okay, God, you win. We will be obedient and we will step into this next season of our life. And God quickly turned things around and brought blessing into our life. But I wonder what would happen if I hadn't gone down that obedient route. I wonder if I had just said, no, I'm going to work hard for several years until I got enough. No, God, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing until I get ahead enough to be able to be obedient to you. I wonder if I ever would have made the decision to step into the calling of my life. And I wonder if you've been confronted with the same thing. Maybe it's time to take care of a single mom. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the time. No. Is God asking you? Can he not provide what he's asking you to do? Maybe it's time you step out and spend more time with your kids and take another job that's keeping you away from them. Well, I can't take a pay cut. Can't God take care of you? Isn't he your source? Well, I want to step into a ministry, but maybe I can't quit my job, or I need to be home with the kids, but I need to get those extra dollars. No, it's obedience to God. It's a heart issue that greed tells us we need to fix it, but God tells us, no, He wants to fix it. So it's, do we trust in ourselves or do we trust in our God? Our God is well able to take care of us. And the Bible talks, He takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. How much more can He take care of us? The problem with greed is it steals our faith. It sucks our faith and our trust away from God and puts it onto our stuff. So how do we defeat greed? How do we overcome this issue of greed? I just got a few more minutes I want to share practically. How do we overcome this issue? Because I think in this modern day world, we all have a piece of this sickness inside of us. We all default back to trusting in our retirement, in our superannuation. And so we try and build and have enough to sustain ourselves when really God is saying, I'm all you need. And all those practical savings and retirements are great. We'll preach and teach on that. You want to act your wage. You don't want to spend more than you have. You want to have savings. That's all great, but not at the expense of trusting and being obedient to God. So how do we defeat greed? One thought today. Don't believe the bigger barn syndrome. Don't believe the BBS, or don't believe the BS, as I call it. What's the BS? Well, there's a story about a rich man, and he had much wealth, and he had all this money and wealth, and so he started building bigger barns to store it up. One night, he died, and God called him a fool because he failed to use what God had given him for His kingdom for eternal benefits. Let's have a look at this story. It's powerful. Parable in Scripture by Jesus, and it's found in Luke 12, verse 16. We'll start. And Jesus told them this parable. A ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I've no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. Sounds awesome. Guy's blessed. Had a big bumper crop. He's doing well. He's storing it up. Makes sense. We would all agree with that in life. Good for you. But there was something wrong in his thinking. There was something wrong in his motivation. There was something wrong in his intention that Jesus exposes in just a few scriptures. What he did, he falls into the bigger barn syndrome. It's a disease that's common to those of us whose hearts are affected by greed. Greed says, all I need is a little more. Greed says, put your trust in your stuff. Greed says, security comes from what you've stored up, your net worth, your super, your inheritance. Greed says, depend on money instead of God. Let me give you an example. Who has a garage? A garage. Come work with me. Who has a garage? We all have a garage, okay? Who has stuff? In their garage, stuff in their garage. Who has so much stuff they don't even park their car in the garage? Anybody? We had a three-car garage in a previous house, three-car garage, and we couldn't even fit a bicycle in our garage. It was full of stuff. Isn't it funny when you think about that? We build a garage for a car, yet we fill it with stuff we don't use. And it's odd to us that we want to store up this stuff. In fact, we have this multi-billion dollar business called Public Storage. All over the coast, there's these storage where people store their stuff that they never use and they never get out. They just keep paying for the storage. In fact, if you want to earn a little extra money, let me give you a tip. Clear out your garage, burn it, just get rid of it. No one will know. Who cares? You won't even care about it. Your wife won't even know. You never use the stuff. And what you can do, you can rent out, true story, your garage space. You get about $150 to $250, depending on how many, one car or two car garage. You can rent it out, and that is a great income earner, passive income, because no one will bother you. They don't even come and look at it. They just store it there, and they feel really good about themselves, and they spend all this money. Why? In the name of greed, because that's where their security is. So you want to make a few extra dollars? Rent out your garage. Lock it up. They'll never come back for it. And in the end, they forget to pay, and it's yours anyway. it's a win-win. Rent out your garage, make some money, but make sure you bless the church and give 10% back. We'll talk about that next week. Isn't it amazing that people do this? They spend their whole life storing up stuff. Now, the man's actions wasn't necessarily bad. It's not unwise to save and get ahead, but the problem was his motive was wrong. Let's see what BBS does. I like BS better. Let's see what BS does. Luke 12, verse 19. And I'll say to myself, this is a rich man, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Woo! Take life easy, drink, be merry, eat. Was God against him having stuff? No. Was God against wise financial planning? No. Was God against him setting up an inheritance for his children? No. Was God against him extending his business? No. God's issue with his attitude, where he said, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You've earned this. You've worked hard. You're a self-made man. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. God has never called any one of us to take life easy. God has called us to push his kingdom forward. God has called us in the Great Commission to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And the actions we do on this earth will determine the life we have in heaven. We're not called to take it easy. God has not called us to sit back. God has called us to do something significant. There are churches that need to be planted. There are schools that need to be impacted. There are universities that need to be reached. There are people who need the gospel. There are ministries that need to be started. There are dreams in the heart of men and women in this place that are yet to be birthed because of this disease called greed that keeps you putting off acting on the obedience that God has asked you to do by waiting till you've stored up enough stuff. You'll never have enough stuff. What you need is faith in Jesus Christ, who provides all your needs. This is a heart issue. It's not a money issue. Verse 20, but God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all what you have prepared for yourself? People spend their whole life accumulating wealth only to get to an age they can't even use it. And they can't even pass it on because they haven't poured into their kids to know how to deal with the trust that they've set up. And it gets destroyed through attorneys and bickering and fighting. And what they hope to bless their kids because they didn't develop or train or teach their kids ends up destroying families. This truth of wealth management is such a powerful blessing for the children of God if we do it God's way. But it can be so destructive and painful if we don't. I've never been to a funeral where they've celebrated someone's stuff. Think about it. You go to a funeral, they talk about their character, talk about their legacy, talk about their kids, the stories. They never stand up and say, man, the guy's got a house in Burley. He's got that paid off. And then he's got a Reflections unit on level 2 and they're living there. Reflections unit, love Reflections. He's got a couple in Melbourne, they don't go through their retirement package and talk about the success of their wealth. They talk about who they are. That's the only thing you can pass on is relationships. The only thing that's eternal is relationships. Yet we spend all our time with this BS, the bigger barn syndrome, building all this stuff up and storing it. We can't even use it, and it can't be a blessing for heaven. Matthew 6:19, as the keys come and we close today, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where there are thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures, I love this verse, in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. This message, not about money, it's about your heart. but your heart will often follow where your money is. What does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? Use your material possessions for eternal purposes. Pouring into things that matter, developing your relationships with your kids, ministering to others, serving marriages, praying for people, helping the youth of Gold Coast Elevation, doing pancakes in schools. I'd love the youth to be financed to go out to all the skate parks in our community to set up pancakes and sausage runs and sizzles and food and blessing in those places where we're needed the most. The only thing that limits us is finance. Honestly, a church of 1,000 people, we usually run 30% of our income is on wages. That's kind of the balance. The other 30% is on buildings or rent, and the other 30% is on programmings. How much more could we do if that had more to spend? If we had more youth to hire to go out into our communities? How much more could we do if we had more programming that we could invest in our life groups, in our kids' church, in our youth ministry, in our missions? How much more? And that other 10% we used to give away. And I love that our church is so generous, we want to give away. And it was a dream of Kath to start the Besaw Home for teenage, single, unwed mums. And that house is filled now. And some of them are going to church now and to see our community impacted because we want to be a blessing. But it starts with us because we are the church. So church can have all these great, grand ideas, but unless we get it as the people, the church can't fully live out its purpose on earth. When we reallocate our finances, our possessions towards things in life that really matter, our heart will follow. Here's the deal. We've got a generous series we're teaching about. We're coming up to our generous offering on June 5th. God doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. But God knows your heart will follow your money. Sometimes people get defensive. I'm going to skip church. It hurts a little. What an opportunity. The antidote for greed is generosity. If you look in the dictionary under greed, you look at antonym, it's generosity. What a chance we have to break the shackles of greed off our life as we step into obedience and be generous. This is a gift, man, for you. This is a gift for me. Bonnie and I, we're feeling a bit awkward here as we're praying about what does God want us to do. I pray you'll embrace this season in our church. Embrace this season of teaching of God's word so that you can deal with this thing. I think all of us have a portion of greed somewhere. And we can destroy that through generosity. And really open our hearts up to see God's favor and blessing come on our life. Because on the other side of generosity, there is great blessing. God is a good God. He loves us. He's got more than enough. He's well able to take care of us. And he wants you blessed. He wants you to have more than you could ever dream of. But it starts when we trust him and we release faith and take the hands off the wheel and trust God with our lives and with our finances. Father, we thank you for your teaching of your scripture. We thank you that you are preparing us as a church to honor you with everything we have. But more than that, God, you're wanting us. You're wanting us. There's nothing more important to you than relationships with you. And I think for so many, and me included, we strive, we work things out. We're kind of at a disadvantage because we're rich, because we don't need you. We kind of got it worked out ourselves. And we can be a disadvantage when we're rich because we can depend on our stuff rather than you. I pray we won't fall into that bigger barn syndrome of storing up for our security. But God, we would trust you wholeheartedly. But God, we'd be prepared to say whatever. We'll go all in. Whatever it takes. Whatever you're asking. The answer's yes. And out of that would come a new trust. Out of that would come an intimacy with you. Out of that come with closeness with you, God. This trusting in you where this partnership between us and you would grow. That you can give us even more as we're faithful in little. The Bible says God will trust you with more. Father, let us be faithful with what we've got. Let us hear your voice as we pray and believe and seek you for our generous offering. It's not about the money, it's about our heart. We need you. Help us to be courageous. Help us to not let fear. I think fear is a big issue. Father, I pray against fear in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray against fear in the name of Jesus. Jesus conquers all fear. The fear of not having enough, the fear of not providing, the fear of going backwards, the fear of going without. Father, I speak against fear in Jesus' name. Father, we replace it with faith, with grace and love, that you are enough and you will look after us. Those who are worried deeply. I get it. 5 kids, I get it. But fear will just suck the life out of you. But faith is what helps you prepare and provide for your future. Father, we thank you. Just in this moment, with your presence in this place, God, minister to our hearts. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. We're not here to condemn. We're here to build up and encourage. We're here to say God has a plan. It's a good plan. God's scripture is full of teachings to seek, find blessing, prosperity. Father, help us to do it your way.